Okay. Thanks for agreeing to meet with me today. I'm going to read this oral consent form and then we can get started. The Department of Religious Studies at the University of Kansas is conducting a research project that seeks to preserve and provide a publicly accessible record of history of various churches and other religious organizations in Kansas. We seek to collect as many stories, information, and documents as possible with the goal of creating, over time, a major repository of information on all kinds of religious bodies in Kansas, past and present. We'd like to record your memories of your experiences in religious organizations. We expect that the interview will take about an hour. We assure you that you are not obligated to participate and may discontinue your involvement at any time. Since we're trying to create a public record of Kansas religious history, we are primarily interviewing persons who agree to let their interviews be available to the general public through the Religion in Kansas Project website and to be identified by name as the person who was interviewed. Should you have any questions about the project, contact Melissa Fisher Isaacs or Professor Tim Miller. Okay. So I wanted to start this interview by asking just about your childhood and what it was like growing up in a small town in Kansas, in Hillsboro specifically. So what was that like?
What aspects of it? Everything or church?
Both, either, or whatever you'd like to talk about.
Growing up in a small town, I went with to school with the same people from kindergarten through senior in high school. Mm-hmm. And if you further divided it up, that same group of people went to about 7 different churches in town. Most of them were Mennonites. And I went to the same people, went to church with the same people my whole life, and you sat in the same seat, mm-hmm. and your grandparents sat in the same seat, your parents sat in the same seat, so on and so on, forever. And church was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Kids got to skip out on Sunday night a lot of times. There wasn't hard and fast rule, but you always went to Wednesday night and you always went to Sunday morning. And because it was a small community and because it was founded by Mennonite settlers, that culture was a part of pretty much everything in town. Now, as current day, it's become diffused and there's a wider group of different kinds of people that live in the town today than there were 40 years ago. So that's kind of what it's like. 77 people in my graduating class in high school. So cool. Half of them lived on farms and half of them lived in town.
That's cool. So can you tell me just a little bit about the Mennonite Church? What does that look like?
Well, because there's 7 of them, so they go from the most conservative church, the people drive black cars and don't use radios or TVs, to maybe the most liberal one would still be very conservative in Lawrence, Kansas. All of them have become obviously different churches for different small reasons way back when in history. They appear to be small now, but at some point in time they were big enough to cause a church to divide into a new church. And the Mennonite Church in Hillsboro, the one our family went to, is probably in the middle as far as most conservative or least conservative. Very highly valued appearances, the outward man. The heart was an issue, but if your heart didn't match up with your outward actions, you could probably still be an accepted member of the community as long as you served well and considered others before you considered yourself. So,
would you say those were some of the values that are pretty consistent in the Mennonite Church?
Mennonites are founded on out of the Reformation, and like all Reformation churches are a denomination that tries to trace everything in the beginning back to the Bible, and the questions in the Reformation can kind of be broken down into why are we doing this, where does this hold fact in the Bible versus something that man is coming up to. So you could say when they split from the Catholic Church, everything was more narrowly Bible-based, but as history and years have passed, there's probably things in the Mennonite churches where you go, that doesn't look very Bible-based. I can't even remember the question now.
That's okay.
I know. Here's a good example. You could never do anything on Sunday.
Okay.
Now, it wasn't so much that you doing it on Sunday maybe was a heart issue. It was more you couldn't let anybody else in the town see you working on Sunday. So you could maybe mow your backyard, but you'd never mow your front yard.
Okay.
And if you had a powered lawnmower, you couldn't even mow your backyard on Sunday because everybody would know you're mowing your backyard. And that was... But that's also a kid looking at what he perceived to be inconsistencies. And I know when I go back as an adult to church, it's a very Bible-based, gospel-centered church service. When you sit down and you go, wow, this sounds a lot like the church that we go to in Lawrence, Kansas, which is gospel-centered, Bible-based.
Mm-hmm.
So there might have been more of a inconsistency from my perception as a kid, junior high, high schooler, than maybe it really was there. And so, and when I was there, you know, there's just still a whole two generations of the church that spoke Low German. My dad's generation and my grandparents' generation all spoke Low German. And when my dad was a young man, or maybe even right before he was born, here's an example of how the church evolved. Big issue: should the church services be in German, Low German, or should they be in English?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's probably not a Bible issue, but I'm guessing there probably could be church splits over that. Why we're leaving because you want to put it in English, and English is not who we are or where we came from. So we're switching. And I've never seen anybody get their feet washed in church, but in my dad's younger years, he, as a younger man, had to wash the feet of the older people in the church, as did all the younger people. And he said it would be a farmer who hadn't had his shoes off all week, take off his boots in church and got to wash the feet. It kind of was a humbling, so the message of being humbled before others, as Christ humbled himself before sinners, was easy for him to understand. So.
Gotcha. And your parents still live in Hillsboro?
Same house.
Same house. Do they still attend the same church that you grew up going to?
Yep, about, I was going to say maybe 13, 14 years ago, the church we grew up in was rebuilt after the original church burned down.
Okay.
Then the church we grew up in about 10 or 12 years ago completely burned down one Sunday afternoon. There was a short in the sound system, and it was a church that had been built in sections over time, and so not a great fireproof structure with firewalls and current fire codes. So once it started in one end, it literally burned all the way to the other end of the block over the course of a whole afternoon.
Wow.
And by the time the fire was done, the church was destroyed completely, which in Olathe or Lenexa or Overland Park or even Lawrence, there's no way a building would burn for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Completely to the ground without part of it being saved. But in a small town with lots of other towns coming to help fight the fire, it completely burned down. So I think the first thing I remember reading about it was somebody who'd gone to the church their whole life saying, the church is not a structure or building. Church is the body of believers. Mm-hmm. So the building is gone, but the church remains. So I thought that was a pretty good off the cuff after watching your church burn down comment to a reporter.
Right. That's cool. So what kinds of things did you learn growing up, or what values did you learn growing up that you still hold on to now today?
In the Mennonite world, ahead of all other values, and maybe this just in our house and in our family, was work.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a lazy person, you were uniformly detested and held in low regard. If you were a hard worker, that covered a lot of faults.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, if I could say, yeah, Jordan's kind of pushy, but she's a hard worker, and that's something I still carry over probably into a negative trait, because it's still hard work is valued from all my growing up years, and mm-hmm. all the people that I knew that were older and wiser was seen as a universal positive attribute, and so I'd say that's contrary to the gospel, and it's not that works gives you salvation, but by golly, once you're saved, God puts you here to work, so you mm-hmm. better be working hard. And I don't know, you probably need to ask my kids how that translates into their perception of their dad, and how that translates even better into, so what's their perception of the world? Because almost one part of me says, I hope they don't carry that to such a degree as I do, because it's not a balanced viewpoint. And certainly carried to an extreme, it's not a very gospel viewpoint. Becomes hard work becomes your idol, and that would probably be easy to see in a lot of Mennonite lives. But at the same time, most of that hard work was always for the interests of others, and not necessarily to just accumulate possessions or wealth or material goods.
So would that be something that you've maybe tried to teach your children, but to an extent to where it would be beneficial? I don't know.
I hope they've learned how to work hard, and you don't know that till they leave. And the other part, probably more in front of that, is the lesson that we probably most tried to teach our kids is you need to have a perspective that looks out from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To the interests of others and the needs and concerns, and not even what those are, but getting over the born, everybody's born with a selfish heart that looks after their own interests, number one. So we spend our whole lives trying to get out from under that curse. And so that's what we're trying to pass on to our kids is, you don't have to know what your roommate's interests are. You just have to acknowledge that they have them, and you need to spend some energy and time and effort trying to find out what they are, because you can't value a person unless you understand them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So now you don't live in Hillsboro anymore. You live in Lawrence, Kansas.
Yes.
And I don't even know if there are Mennonite churches here, but
there's one. Yeah.
But you've chosen to attend now Grace.
Right.
Why have you chosen this church? Maybe as opposed to a Mennonite church, but specifically Grace EPC, what attracted you to that church?
Well, when I was in college at KU, pretty much everybody I knew in college, and that doesn't mean everybody in college went to this church, but everybody in the circles I knew went to one Presbyterian church, and it was called First Presbyterian. It's still here in Lawrence. It's over by the KU Intramural Fields. Really cool looking architecture from the outside. So then I got married, was gone for a year, and we moved back, and we moved into an apartment directly up against the parking lot at First Presbyterian Church for one of the good reasons was we can walk to church mm-hmm. on Sunday morning. We just walk across the parking lot. We're there. So after we moved in, we went to church first Sunday, and there was, you're like, wow, there's not a bunch of people here that used to go here. Maybe it's vacations, mm-hmm. summer, I don't know. And then we went, maybe, I want to say before the second time, but maybe it was before the third time, we saw a couple downtown that I'd known from college. They also knew my parents, and they used to go to this church, and they said, hey, we're going to a new church. It's meeting in Deerfield School, and tomorrow morning is the first time we're meeting in the school. So you guys want to come? So we're like, well, let's see. It'd be like a friend saying, hey, we used to go to the same church. You've been gone for a year. We're going to a new church. Why don't you come? So we did. And when we went, the first Sunday was a small revelation that a lot of the people that were familiar from the old church were going to this new church. They're mm-hmm. like, wow, doesn't seem that different. And meeting in a school when you're just out of college kind of seems kind of cool a little bit. And the people, and because when we've gone to the old church, there weren't people there that we knew. Going to the new church, there were people there that we knew. So we just started going, and that was like 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. So little by little, we saw more and more people at the new church than the old church. And another Mennonite trait that my dad made sure we heard often is, if people want you to know their business, they'll tell you. So that was his way of telling my mom, don't ask people about their business. So I never, until 25 years later, ever found out what caused the people to leave the church. Mm-hmm. And then I was reading it's like a story about the history of 25 years of the new church. And if you go way back to the beginning, the reasons for the people leaving the old church had to do with, probably in most concise form, the church, let's leave it in less concise form. The church had a division over biblical truth, and over that division, one group left and one group stayed. So that's maybe the best way to put it. And So anyway, the church, I think the church that we went to, the new church, seemed always in church growing up. Obviously, if you're going to the same church for your whole life with the same people, your view of a church is, I go to church with people I know. Who I go to school with, who I work with, who live down the street. So that factor was present in the new church. And then little by little, the college kids that we knew who now were graduating were going there. And so it seemed a lot like it was the same church, just in a different location. And So it wasn't a Mennonite church, but we used the Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only part that it took me 10 years to get around from a Mennonite perspective is in the Mennonite church, they baptize people when they believe, which can be junior high on to adult. And our current church, if you have kids, you typically get them baptized when they're infants. But that's not necessarily an essential. But we probably held out 10 years. I did, because in my mind, I'm like, that's different from what I know. And then I think I went to every class teaching Bible study on baptism, just couldn't get over the hump. Because it's not clearly taught either way in the New Testament, mm-hmm. that it's an absolute. But finally, I think it came to a point of, you're in this church, you've been in this church for 10 years. What does it say in terms of submitting to the leadership that God's placed over you in this church on the issue of baptism? So somewhere in a few months after that, we had 5 kids by then. So they all got baptized on the same Sunday in front of the whole church. Some were little, some were obviously at least 8 years old. and a tender moment was, there was some grandparents in the new church that, when I was growing up, lived in Hillsboro and knew my grandparents. And so after the baptism, the grandma came up and said, "Oh, I could see your grandfather would have been a proud man today of the family that has the legacy that has come after him, and how it has continued to walk in the gospel." And I thought that's pretty neat.
That is cool. So speaking of kind of the differences between grace and then maybe just the Presbyterian denomination in general, how would you kind of define, if you could, those differences and even biblical truth? Or how, I don't know, does that make sense?
Well, outwardly, I'm no theologian, so outwardly, what are we teaching is truth. I think they probably all come down pretty close. Mm-hmm. The doctrine, what we believe would be, on the whole, close to each other. The obvious big difference would be the Mennonites are not in for, that's part of the movement, Anabaptist, mm-hmm. comes, means not infant baptism, believer's baptism, which still is present in our church today. I mean, if I just had we just interviewed a girl who's 14 who's going to get baptized next time it comes, mm-hmm. up. But so that's obviously a lot like the Mennonite church, and her family is a wonderful family. And so there's also, another family that very Sunday baptized their little baby girl. So, and both of them are, there's no divisions in one wrong and one right. So that's probably the biggest change. And again, what's the most, if it's a given that the Bible remains mostly the same, and the teaching is based out of the Bible, then they are very similar in the fact that a church is a family of believers and a body of believers, and that's very much what we grew up in Hillsboro, and absolutely what we, our kids have grown up with, and what being in the church here is about. Now, in the Mennonite church, I don't even know how they organize, whether it's Presbyterian government or not. I know that we're in a denomination. I know we have elders. I know we have pastors. I don't know how we link up to the denomination, except everything in the Mennonite church is always driven by service. So you're a bigger part of the Mennonite denomination, and there's activity and projects and papers that continue to refine where the church is at as Scripture points the church into new and different issues in the world. But my perception, being as a person going to the Mennonite church, looking at it from the outside, that would have been way down in the background for the rank and file guy. The Mennonite church and the denomination is all about, okay, so our church is part of the MB denomination, so somebody's town was hit by a tornado, so we're going with all the other churches in that denomination, and part of the Mennonite is, there's a thing called Mennonite Disaster Relief, so we're going for 2 weeks to help people whose town got hit by a tornado, or there's a huge sale every spring. And of course, I'm sure there's pride that overtakes some efforts, but the net result is the whole sale is on the state fairgrounds in Hutchinson, and it's to raise money for Mennonite disaster relief. And so again, they're looking at how are you helping others. I know that got, you know, what did I get from the Mennonite church? Well, I got that part about other orientated to the seeds of it. Then I think if you walked in, probably our church today in Lawrence might be more conservative from a theology standpoint than the old church I went to in Hillsborough, because the grandpa generation of my grandparents are all dead. The generation of my parents are partway dead, and so the generation that's the leaders in the church are more my generation. And I think there's probably I don't know, they came from such a conservative background, they may have reacted to a less to the other extreme of had so much order and structure, let's see how we can worship and teach without so much structure. So I know this, Jordan, the church at Hillsborough uses audiovisual. There's no audiovisual in the church in Lawrence.
Yeah.
There's barely even a cross on the front. I mean, in the old gym, there was nothing for 20 years, nothing except a white wall of concrete bricks. And the new church in Lawrence, just, or the newer sanctuary, has a cross in the front. But if you watch the video on worship from the church in Lawrence, it could go toe-to-toe with any Mennonite church on biblical worship, Bible-based worship, so there's not a lot of changes, and maybe I've even benefited from going from a conservative church to a light conservative church, whereas if I was still in the Mennonite church in Hillsborough, I'd probably actually be sitting here today and be maybe less conservative. I don't know. There's a lot of old Mennonites still, though, out there.
Yeah, that's cool. It sounds like what you're saying is that growing up, the Mennonite church was very community-based. Would you say now, looking at the church in Lawrence that you go to, it is also community-based?
The church in Lawrence is its own community.
Yeah.
So our kids, to the extent they have community at church, that would follow them to high school or middle school or elementary school. But in your classroom at any of those schools, you might have a couple of your community from church friends, but you're going to have 20 other people that are not. And the spectrum of that are not in Lawrence would be every flavor under the rainbow, which you could just get by going to the high school and say, show me the index of groups, student groups in this high school. And as you read through the titles or the names, there would be nothing like that 40 years ago in Hillsborough. There'd be 7 different groups of Mennonite, and you knew what church everybody went to. There were some guys in my class that were Catholics, and the nearest Catholic church was 10 miles away. And on Boy Scout Sunday, there was a Sunday where scouts every year, you would go, they would pick one church different every year to go to broaden your horizons for what other church services look like. And so we would go every so many years to the Catholic church 10 miles away to see what a Catholic mass looked like. Mm-hmm. The churches, our church in Lawrence is a community, but the community in Lawrence is not made up of our church.
Hmm.
Not, we are a tiny one tiny of 100 parts in Lawrence, we're one part, but there's 99 other other vastly different parts. And so that lets the kids see, you know, I'm not in this because it's the majority view, and, and increasingly in the world the pendulum's kind of swinging away from Jewish Christian worldview to the worldview of whatever I want my worldview to be is what the worldview is for me. And you can have your own worldview, whatever you want it to be, and I'm okay with that. So it's hard to say I'm looking out to try to see the interests of others before my own, and it's also hard to choke down for our kids that there's absolute truth in all these other 99 parts. If they're in opposition to the absolute truth, that's that means you're in opposition. So it's hard to carry that out to say, yeah, that's just a benchmark they live with. They see thousands of other different people living life different ways. Whereas I grew up, and you know, the biggest difference was, well, that church just drives blue cars, black cars. They're still in church on Sunday. We're still in church on Sunday. Or that church, the men have beards once they get married. Or the ladies wear hats. Yeah. So I don't know if it's to every kid now in our family. And as we talk to this student about getting baptized, who's 14, one of the questions is, so how did you come to the point to say this is about me and not me just being about what my parents believe in? So that's a good question for everybody to face up and to grow into and to come to understand. So
yeah. How are you involved in the church, or your family as a whole? What kinds of things are you involved in?
We are involved in the church. I have a saying that says if we ever had to move from Lawrence, I think that the top 10 or top 100 things that would hurt, that we would miss about Lawrence, are some way connected to our church. So if you take that as a background, you know, we started in as a married couple in a church that was brand new. So as we had kids, you do things that need to be done for kids. And as the kids get older, you do things that need to be done at different age levels for kids. And then because of a church that starts, has people that aren't afraid, they have an interest in, there's only a few of us, there's a lot of things that need to be done, that means all of us are going to be doing a fair number of things. So, but that's the mindset, and everybody shares kind of that mindset. So in that block of people, even to this day, there's probably, I won't put a number on it, but there is a small number of people relative to the whole body of our church that do a super majority of the tasks that get done in the church. And then there's fill-in by everybody else to do. Yeah, so it's kind of that old rule, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. So we've seen it mostly on the sharp end of the pencil of doing, and we've had times recently where we've been on the other end of the pencil, meaning people doing for us. So if you said what all have we done, we'd probably, a good description would be, if you and I founded a business, Jordan, and in the beginning there were two of us to do everything, and then as we grew and we got new jobs and new tasks, we'd do those. So now, 25 years after we started the business, you and I would say we pretty much know how to do most everything in the business. Margaret and I wouldn't be able to say we pretty much know how to do everything in the church. But we could say we've done a lot of things in the church, and it's a huge part of who we are day to day, week to week, and we all have our shortcomings, and folks can look at us and say, there's hypocrisy there. But the flip side of that is, I think our involvement of the church speaks to a degree and an accurate degree of where our heart is, what our beliefs are, what, you know, you can say you see what's important by how a person spends their time and their energy and their money. So I think on those you'd say, what's our involvement in the church? We spend our time, our energy, and our money, and drag our kids along in all three of those areas as well, to say that's... And there's no part of it that's not, and I hope our kids have picked this up, there's no part of it that's an obligation or a duty. It is a joy. It is a, every Sunday, and we're constantly coming to a more clear understanding of what it means to worship, but we're worshiping on Sunday, and that essentially is the other 6 days in some form or fashion involve carrying that worship forward to the next Sunday. So, and it's a joy to serve, and it's a joy to worship. So there's not a lot of competition for that, but I know that goes on in our church and right now with lots of other folks, lots of other things to pick out and to do contrary to that. We're just lucky enough that all of our circles tend to run through the church, so it's what all our friends are doing too.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and that's a we have a great circle of friends. So
that's awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story and agreeing to meet with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh yeah.